Okay, we forgot. You got to stand back up and sing Happy Birthday to her. All right, sorry, well, your job's not done. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do. Born again means salvation. How many of you? Thank you, may be seated. And when I was observing verses, I missed somebody. Maybe you have a couple with you right there, right? Would you want to introduce them to us, please? Well, very glad to have you. God bless you. Thank you. Welcome to church. Sorry, I missed you earlier. All right, if you have your Bibles, open up the First Samuel chapter 12. And while you're turning there, and I promise you that after I say this, I won't say any more about it, but I was overwhelmed, and all of my children were especially overwhelmed with the gratitude, the gift, the church on a first-class program with our 50th, and it just overwhelmed everybody. And overwhelmed me because many of you did things that I didn't get a chance to personally say thank you. Some people gave me cards, I didn't see any signatures on them, and some of them even had some money on them. And so I really thank you. I like that nice gesture that you did, being a little bit foolish about that. But we do appreciate everything that you did, and you did a great job. So thank you so much for that. And also during my entire illness, there's everybody that called, there's everybody that sent cards, and they say my home nurse and my home therapist both have turned me loose. They say you're too good for us to come back down here anymore. One day the therapist came and I was out walking a dog. He said, when I go to the house, they're in bed waiting for me and you're out walking a dog. So we're through with that. We have next appointment on January 8th with the lung doctor. So hopefully they say when they check me that everything's doing well. All right? Keep praying about all that, and we're looking for the next 50 miles to be better than the last 50, all right? Got the oil changed and the plugs and spark wires all tuned up, so everything's okay. In the first verse I read to you, I want you to notice something before we get into our outline this morning. And turn you not aside. We're having a great turning aside of Christianity and Christian people in throughout the world, and particularly in America. Of all the places that there ought to be a hotbed and a fire burning for God, should be in America, where we're free to do what God wants us to do. We shouldn't be the ones backing up. We shouldn't be complaining because some goofy reporter thinks that we can't sing Jingle Bells, or some stupid professor from some stupid college, and I ask that I make it a bit saying it's a racist song. Because, my goodness, everybody in the world is a racist, I guess. I don't know where people come up with these stupid ideas and things that they say. And you know what was so amazing about it? It was some white, ugly-looking woman that said that. And this beautiful black woman from down in Tennessee said it's not racist. I thought, how appropriate for it to be put out, amen? Don't you think that's good when God works like that? Some people are not ashamed. I think, first of all, you got to be happy with who you are. You know, some people are just constantly, I guess that's what's wrong with this crowd that wants to change their sex or something, not happy with it. I'm kind of happy with who I am. It doesn't bother me. I don't have to look at myself twice a day in the mirror. Everybody else has got the problem. But I'm happy with me. I'm happy with my skin. I'm happy with who I am. I'm happy how I grew up. I'm happy with what I'm doing. People just got to get a life, really. But we're turning aside and letting these people turn us aside and say, oh, we're not supposed to say that. We can't say Merry Christmas. We can't say God bless America. Yes, we can. Say it. Say it over and over and over. And if anybody should be telling the story, we should be telling the story. We can't let those freaks out there try to tell our story. It's a happy holiday. Isn't it funny they want to use Christ's birthday to make all this money, but they don't want to mention him? Now, that's kind of ridiculous when you stop and think about it. So we should not turn aside we should tone it up, we should make it more, we should say more about it. Okay? And then, I like verse 23 also, I'd like to reemphasize that. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. The only services that we have is our Wednesday night service, and we try to take prayer requests and pray. God says in that verse that it's a sin if we don't pray for one another. We pray for our missionaries, we pray for each other, for our hurts, for our problems, for our ministry, for our work. It's a sin not to pray for the church and for God's work. And we should be about praying and praying often. And let's go to our outline. And, you know, you could tell the gospel story about Jesus Christ, and you could dig and dwell. We could take a year's service every Sunday morning and talk about some aspect of the theology of Jesus Christ coming into the world. We could go to the garden, and where God said to the Satan, one day the woman's seed will crush your head. You'll be able to bruise his heel. We could talk about the importance of that. We could bring that down to the birth of Christ. We could go through the lineage in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, wherever it is there in chapter Luke, and talk about the importance that he was born of the out of Judah, the tribe of the lion. We could go through all that. But you know, in the short time we have this morning, I want to simplify what responsibility that we have as the Church of Jesus Christ is to go and tell. We could talk about his birth, his life. Never a man was born like he was. He was born of the Virgin. Never one lived a life. He was a perfect man in every way. None of us are perfect. His death, never a man died like he did. They did not take his life, he gave his life. Write that down somewhere. They did not kill him, he gave his life for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the whole world. And they buried him. Never was there a burial like this. They were so afraid that what he said was going to happen that they sealed the tomb, they locked it up, they put guards in front of it, but they couldn't claim my Savior. They could not hold my Savior. They could not keep him in a tomb. He came forth. And that was the glorious resurrection. And this is prophesied throughout the Old and the New Testament. We could preach many sermons about that. The birth line in the lineage I mentioned before was foretold many times throughout the history of the Old and the New Bible, over and over and over. We're studying in that dispensation because, listen, if you get mixed up on any of these things, you're going to be mixed up the rest of the way. He says we can't add to or take away. There's no way. If you start adding to what Jesus did, then you're diminishing and cheapening the grace of our God, and you cannot do that and can keep the gospel. It's important. We were talking about the Bible. The Bible says one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. And you have to keep it that way. If you keep your rifle locked in, and the scope is locked in, then you'll hit the target. You didn't miss the target because of gun speed, but you missed it because you didn't have it locked in where you're supposed to. Why do I say that? The same thing's true about the gospel. It's saved in a gun barrel. Heaven is high and hell is hot, and God is not changing to suit the whims of men or some church. We find his earthly parents were of very low estate. Why would he choose those people? Why would he choose such a place? Why would he choose parents like that? The area of his birth and his life growing up as well. Why did someone not notice the great difference about him for almost 30 years? And we criticize those people. How could he grow up in a small community and they not know there's something extraordinarily different about this boy down at the coffee shop? This young man's a perfect man. But you know what? They're still the same. We have subjects like, do you think the Muslims are going to get to heaven? How can a Muslim get to heaven if he doesn't have Jesus Christ? How is a Jew going to get to heaven every day. How is a cult, how is a Catholic going to get to heaven riding on the tails of a Pope who's not going to get there without Jesus Christ? Nobody makes it. But yet we have theologians that want to sit around and discuss that and talk about that. The courtship and relationship of his parents is very unusual. Very unusual situation. His wife was found to be pregnant before they were married. And he had to have a talk with God about that. And this was very unusual. Quite simply, it was a story that only God could tell. It was a miracle. But let's cut to the chase from all that just a moment. Because me, I like to say, if it's in the book, I believe it. You don't have to go through pages and a lot of sermons by a lot of smart people to tell me, to prove to me what's in the Bible. I believe this book from cover to cover. And that's why 50 years I still love it and find more and more in there that I like and can keep preaching it. Somebody has to have something proved in there. Well, how did God get here? I don't know and I don't care, but he did. Amen? I didn't care how the ambulance got there that night and when they came and picked me up, but I was glad there was one to carry me on. Amen? I didn't have to stop and question, say, how'd you get here? Who woke you up? Who called you? I'm just glad you're here. Take me to where I'm supposed to go. Aren't we foolish about things that we want to question? Question, where did God come from? I'm just not going to believe it. You can't prove God to me. Well, if you're that stupid and you're that ridiculous, you want to die and burn in hell, I'd rather be in heaven going through a Greek class trying to figure it out than I would be in hell wondering what the world happened. Amen? Amen? Two words will simply define what we're going to talk about, that's go and tell. First of all, let's think about the conversation, which we don't have one in the Bible, between God the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was to go and tell. The only verse that we have that really spells it out and doesn't tell us the details is John 3:16. Been plastered in more football stadiums and baseball stadiums and buildings around the world than any other verse from any other Bible or any other thing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It simply says God did these things. But I can imagine the conversation that went on between the three, the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All three were involved, were they not? God authorized the plan with his love. The Bible said God so loved the world. And as I've said to you many times, it doesn't say that God loved the world. It said God so loved the world. That carries a great connotation there with it. That means a lot more. That separates Christianity from every other religion. God so loved. God so loved the world. Mohammed, Hare Krishna, any other man, they did not get sent to the world by God because God loved the world. The only thing that God sent to this world because he so loved was Jesus Christ. And he loved you, he loved me. And if sometimes, and if we're really honest, and by the way, you want to get honest with yourself and find out how really bad you are and how much love it took for God to so love you, is start reading this book and start studying this book. Then you don't compare yourself horizontally to everybody else. You compare yourself vertically to Jesus Christ and you say, woe is me. Woe is me, because I am sinful man. I am lost. I am undone. I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of a God. I'm in need of the love of God. We can run and hide from this book. We can run and hide from the teaching of it and the preaching of it, but it's still God's word and it's true. God so loves you. God so loves you, regardless of what you've done or have thought about doing or will do before you meet him. God still loves you. You can't break the love of God. You can't chase the love of God away. God sends his hounds of heaven, the very God that sent the angels down to tell those shepherds a story, is looking after you this morning, and it's no accident that you're here this morning. That God so loved you that he wanted you to hear the message about his great love. So God authorized it. Jesus developed the plan with his love. You'll need a perfect sacrifice. Do you remember the story in the Old Testament when Abraham and Isaac are going up the mount to make the offering, to make the sacrifice, which was the traditional way that the Jewish religion, all of that was done that it might point to the very plan of God and Christ that would come. And he said, Father, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where's the offering? And he said, God will provide himself with an offering. Jesus said, I'll go and be the offering. In this imaginary conversation I'm having in my mind about how it went some way, I'm not in there, we don't have the recording, but Jesus offered himself. He did not resist. As the example was of Isaac, he was willing to be his father's offering for your sins or my sins. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And God said, I'm going to allow Jesus to die for the sins of every single person that ever comes into the world or ever will come. And it doesn't matter whether your sins are big sins or little sins, they're all sins. And we all need the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. So he took our place. And then the Holy Spirit steps forward and says, if he's going to go as a man, I will perform the conception with life. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, came up on Mary and she conceived. And Jesus was placed in the womb. Isn't this a marvelous plan that only God could do? And using the Trinity. You know, when you study in the book of Genesis, the Trinity is a work. God said, let us make something. God likes to make something. God likes to take nothings like you and me and make something out of it. And by the way, God's the only one that can. You know, we can think we're really something, but God knows we're nothing. And he's close to us, but only God can take us and make something. So there's the conversation. And he's to go and tell the world. The angels would tell that night. The shepherds would tell. The wise men would tell. They were obedient to the call of the heavenly God, the King of the earth, Jesus the Christ, the King of glory, has come and there to go and tell. And they did it with joy. No wonder we sing joy to the world, but we say joy to the world. How many more verses we got in this song? Joy to the world. It's a joy to tell about Christ. It's a joy to tell about a Savior. It's a joy to tell about one who comes to save lost sinners. Joy. So the angels had but one message, not to go to tell. Go and tell. That's all they had to do was go and tell. God doesn't want you to go and tell anything you don't know anything. And by the way, you have to know the story to be able to tell the story. You have to somewhere, someplace, met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and accepted him into your heart and life before you have anything to tell. You can talk about it all day long. You can sing. You can sing perfectly on key and on note and on time. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have nothing to say. Let all tongues be stopped. Let all voices be silent before the courts of heaven. Without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't tell. But if you have him as your Savior, no matter how little you are, I like the children, you'll want to be here tonight to hear them, to help tell the story of the Son of God who came to this world. So the angels, they went not to kings of authority, but they went to lowly shepherds to tell those stories. We sometimes think, oh, if we could just find important people to tell it to, we need to tell it to whomever God puts in our place along our way and tell the story. Tell it to the postman when you go to the post office to mail a package. Tell it to the shoppers at the places where you shop and get your gifts this Christmas. Say it everywhere you go. Tell it to your family. Don't have a meal. Don't have a celebration. Don't have any time that you don't tell the story of Jesus Christ coming in. This is his birthday. This is what it's about. This is God's miracle to the world, for God so loved the world. The wise men had one message, but go and tell. They went and saw the young lad, the Christ child, in his house. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of Man. When God is placed in this world, go and tell. So they had one message to tell. and John the Baptist. There could be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He had one message, but to go and tell. John was his forerunner. In John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb from the very beginning. The Bible doesn't tell us that in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, that it was a lamb that God himself sacrificed, but I believe it was. Because all down through the history, it was a lamb. And then when the Jewish people were to escape the Egyptian bondage, it was a lamb that was to be sacrificed. And they were to sacrifice a lamb. And we see John saying here, this is the Lamb of God. Meaning he's the one that's going to die. And then we see in the book of Revelation the resurrection of the Lamb. And we see the last of the Lamb. Oh, but my people, hear me this morning. It's a wonderful day of grace in which we live. But one day, the last of the Lamb will come and the judgment of God will be. And then, where will we stand? The Bible says in Revelation that men will cry for the rocks to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Because now he who offered to be your Savior is going to be your judge. And without the shedding of sin, blood, there's no remission for your sin. He said again in verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked. The Bible words are important. And looking upon Jesus as he walked. You know what I like about that verse? He walked like no other man walked. He had a perfect walk. He's the only one that could walk and say, I am without sin, I'm without reproach. I'm without any sin whatsoever. I'm the only one that can provide you salvation. As a matter of fact, Paul writes to us in the book of Corinthians and says, let us walk in the Spirit. After we've been saved, we should walk different, amen? We should talk different, amen? We should be different, amen? Because we now walk as he walked by the shores of Galilee. So he said, behold the Lamb of God. He observed his walk. You got to walk. If you're a Christian, again, I say to you this morning, you have no story to tell if you've not been to Calvary. You have no story to tell if you've not been born again. If you've not trusted him as your Savior, and if you have, then you have this great responsibility that I'm talking about this morning to tell. And that's the only responsibility that God gives you. You say, I'm not smart enough. You don't have to be smart enough. The shepherds weren't very smart, but they were smart enough to know God had done a marvelous thing. And yet we had the extreme. We had wise men and so wise that they knew they didn't have enough wisdom to tell the story. They had to go see it for themselves. After his baptism by John, Jesus had one message to go and tell. The Bible says that after he was baptized, he began to teach and to preach in the same vein as John the Baptist. And he says this about us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you shall receive power. Power. This is what's wrong with the church today. We have no power. We have the power, but we don't use the power. And the power is the Holy Spirit. We're living in the church age. And he wants us to connect it to it. Several years ago when I was principal and we first started coming out with computers, I can't believe I've been around that long, but one of my jobs as a high school principal was to make sure the elementary people had somebody to show them how to use the computers. And one day I got a call and one of the teachers, the people at the one elementary was saying, there's something wrong with our computer, we can't get it turned on. Well, that's, you got a problem when you can't get the computer turned on. Or the cell phone turned on, amen. You deal with the coffee pot. You ever have trouble with that? I was plugging stuff in the other day trying to figure out, I forgot it had a switch on back, you have to turn it on. Safety switch back there. So I called up my guy, got a place, replaced it for him. I said, go down to Chase Gun Farm and find out what's wrong with the computer. They've got a major crisis down in elementary. They can't get to turn off. He was going about 10 or 15 minutes. He came back with a great big smile. I said, what happened? He said, went back there and I looked, and there was no cord running from the computer to the outlet. So I said to her, "Where's the cord?" She said, "I don't know. What'd you do with it?" You got to be plugged in. You know when you get plugged in? When you get in this book, you get on your knees, and you get some people, then you get the power. And until you get plugged in, you don't have the power. You can talk about Christ, you can talk about salvation, you can talk about heaven, you can talk about hell, but if you don't have the power, it falls on deaf ears. The only thing that opens deaf ears is the power of God from a child of God who knows he has the power and knows he's saved and knows he's on his way to heaven. Amen. The power, Lord, send the all-time power the saints used to sing. Send the power, the holy power. We need the power in this day and age. And people are transvestites and trans whatever else. I think they're trans-brain dead. They've had their brain transferred someplace else. If you ever had one. Did you ever see any animals wanting to do that? I never did. I grew up on the farm. I got my education out behind the barn. I didn't have to go to a biology class. I didn't have to go to a doctor's course to know that there was a difference between the male and the female. I understood all that perfectly. And you know, we always called somebody that was cowardly chicken. Chicken. Did you ever try to take the eggs off them and old something? Honey, I'm going to tell you, you need an education in. That's not a chicken. That hen will scratch your eyeballs out. I've seen that same hen. We didn't get ours through the mail like some of you city farmers did. We got ours on our eggs. And then she'd take them out through the barnyard. After a while, a big old snake would come out. The old devil himself. And she'd make that curdling sound. And all those bitties. They won't like your children running in the traffic, running in. You say, no, come here. They'd get right behind mama. They knew how to obey. They knew it was safe with mama. I want to listen to my mom. I want to listen to my dad. Then go ahead and wreck your life with drugs and everything else. One day you wish you'd obeyed mama. And then, when those little chickens are behind her, she'd take that big old snake on one-on-one. That chicken. That cowardly chicken, put on that snake, that devil. And she'd circle him until he had his head and had to look the other way, and then she'd bop, hit him right in the brain with the beak. And then she'd back up and do it one more time. Finally, she'd got him dead. And then she'd say, "Kick, kick," and we'd all come over and have a meal of the devil and eat him. That's the chicken. That's the chicken, yeah. You need to go up on a farm to really know something. You know what I mean? What's really important you can learn on a farm. You can learn it all. You know, Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it can't produce. We don't know how to die to self. We don't know how to give our life and say, "Lord, here am I. Take me, use me, make me what you want to be. I die to my selfish ambitions and my vainly thoughts. I give myself to you, God. Use me, O God, to tell the story." Country life is the best life. Amen. You can argue with me after church, but it's true. But he says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." We need the Holy Ghost of God. You know why they call it the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, "Why they call it Spirit?" Well, it is the Spirit. But it's the Holy Ghost because when Jesus died, he produced the Holy Ghost, which was the Holy Spirit. Ghost means it died. Jesus died for us. He said, "When I go away, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send the Comforter, and the Comforter will be the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost." I want to get the Holy Ghost all over me, amen. The Holy Ghost has been resurrected. The Holy Ghost is alive. Amen. We just stick our toe in the water and think we've done something. We need to jump in there all the way up to our neck and get it all over us. I mean all over us. Glory be to God. Some of the Pentecostal crowd think to God they don't know what they're talking about. It starts down in here, not on the outside. It's not what you got on your shaking outside, it's what you got on your inside. The disciples, Jesus left and told them they had one message to tell. He said in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore. The first word in the gospel is go. We got to go. He said to Israel, go. He said to the church, go. He says to us, go. And one day he's going to say, come, and we'll all go home. Amen. So shall we ever be to the Lord. Listen, this stuff's getting better all the time. It's getting better all the time. This is a message the world needs to hear. Peter, James, and John, and Paul, they had one message, go and tell. Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and told the message. We've been talking about, I don't want to interrupt the word so much, I didn't want to interrupt him again, but everybody's talking about the tongues. See, in the book of Acts, you don't read about an unknown tongue, you read about an unknown language. It's a language. God says he don't do anything but what he don't tell you what it is. It's a language. And God gave them a language so they could hear it. That's what everybody heard in their own language. Listen, if you want to get serious, you say, well, I'm not smart enough to read the Bible. Yes, you are. You start reading, and God will tell you in your language what he wants you to know from this book. And the more you read, the more he'll tell you. And before you read it, get down on your knees, if it's 5, 10 minutes in the morning, and say, God, it's me again. I want to know something from your word today. I need something, and God will give it to you. And every morning do the same thing and say, it's me again, God. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, O Lord. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. He says, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel and have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Somebody said, when are you going to quit? Why would I want to quit what I enjoy doing most and God blesses the most? I mean, I quit when I step inside the gates and then I just begin anew with a perfect way to do it. Amen? Quit! There's no discharge in that war, he says in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's no stopping, there's no giving up. And then notice lastly about us today. We, the church, have one message, and that's go and tell. Why do we send out these missionaries? Why do we double their offerings? Why do they send them junk? Why do they tell us what's going on? Why do we have a prayer and have a testimony from one of our missionaries only? Because they're going and telling. Why do we pick up all those little kids and bring them in? Scream and run in the building. Because we want to go and tell. Acts 8:4 says, therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. God sent derision upon the church because the church got bogged down in Jerusalem and wouldn't go. So he sent trouble to spur them on. Sometimes God displaces you from the job you like and puts you in that you don't like to get you someplace else to preach the gospel. God's working on you. God wants to move you. God wants to move you to preach his word because that's what we're here for. And what would we say in conclusion? I need to warn you. The world doesn't want us to go and tell. Washington doesn't want us to go and tell. They're trying to figure out a way to stop us. Let's call it a national holiday. I'd like to slap every one of those guys, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you just like to take that bunch of Democrats and meet Republicans and slap the paw at them? I mean, really. You're afraid of this. This is the power. They don't want the power that's against them. Acts 4:18, and they called them in. And this is what they said to the early disciples. Listen. And they commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Don't put up a nativity scene. Don't put up a Christmas tree. Put up a holiday tree. I'm just getting started, folks. I'm just getting started with this stuff. I'm sick of that. They don't want to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. But notice what they answered them in verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God's judges. He says, you're telling us not to do this, and God's telling us to do. What do you think we're going to do? I got news for you, God hasn't changed. When they tell us we can't, we can. When they tell us we shouldn't, we should. We keep on telling the story. The world's going to always be against us. They're always going to find opposition. They're always going to find some way to stop us. They're always going to say that we're bigoted or that we're racist or something like that. This has been proven over and over and over. There is one kind of blood to humans all over the earth. There's not a bunch. You can't be a racist. There's no such thing. You can be black or whatever other color there are, tan or white or somewhere in between, but we all got a blood. And Jesus Christ died for every single one of those who have that blood. It's different from animals and any other blood. We're not racist. We are one people under this earth that God created, and therefore we all need the Savior. That's why we send missionaries to Africa. That's why we send missionaries. That's why we pick up the white and black kids to come here, because there is one God to save all men, and we need to send out that story. So we need to not only this Christmas time, but throughout this coming year, and however long God lets us live here, to tell the story. Keep telling the story. Don't stop telling the story. 7 years ago, when I was a military chaplain working with my friend, we went out on a certain day, and we didn't realize it was a holiday. I think it was Thanksgiving or something. And we went to a hospital, and there was this man that was screaming down the hall. And I said to the nurse, "Can we go down and see him?" He said, "No, we don't want you to go see him. He's really upset." I said, "That's why we went out to see him." We went down to pray for him. The man was screaming, "I'm dying and I'm burning up. I'm dying and I'm going to hell. I'm dying." And the nurses were saying, "Don't disturb him." I said, "Disturb him? The man is disturbed already." And I began to pray, and she was pushing us out the door. "Lord God, help this man to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior." I don't know if he did or didn't. The next day we went back to see him, and he was dead. The world doesn't have an answer. We have the answer. We have the answer for people to be saved. You say, "Well, I'm not a bad person, Mr. Todd." Let me tell you something. We're all bad. The Bible says the flesh is corrupt. The only good thing that we can have is Jesus Christ. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, as we bow this morning, and in a few moments as the piano starts to play and his hearts have been festered, I pray no one would move for the doors, no one would be disturbing, as the Holy Spirit of God might work this morning. If somehow one child, one person, one man, one woman is here without Christ, it would be our plea that you could work in that heart with the Holy Spirit by convicting and the love of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and draw them to yourself to be saved. Lord, I pray that no one would go without knowing and trusting you with eternal life. Oh God, have your way in this service. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you can start to pray softly, if you're here this morning and you could say, "Pastor Hodge, I'm not sure, while no one's looking, I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved, but I want to be sure. I want to be sure. Pray for me." And that's all I do. I'm not going to come back and drag you up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. You're not 100% sure. Just say, "Pray for me." Raise your hand and put it right down. If you're not 100% sure, you never ask Jesus Christ into your heart. We want you to know that for sure. Now we wait just a moment. I wonder if you're here this morning, and since no one raised their hand, I guess you're all saying that you do know him, but you know someone, some friend, some family member that you might see if you're saved, and you'd say, "Pastor, please pray for my friend." I see several hands. What a thought at Christmas time that we could go and tell. Take a basket of cookies with a crack in it, at the very least. Send a card with a track in it or a Bible message. Do your very best. Maybe they won't talk to you. Maybe they say, maybe they've made you promise never to talk about it. But you can say, one last time, I'd just like to give you a tract or something, that they might come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Dear Lord, make us a going church. Make us a telling church. Make us telling disciples, Lord, to tell the world that Jesus Christ has come. In His name we pray. And we're singing number 187, Amazing Grace. I thank God for that amazing grace. One day He found me, brought me out of a drunkard's grave and saved my soul. Amen. To the restroom, wherever you go, and get your lunch or your meal. And then I want you to go to your couch or your easy chair or wherever you go to get your best nap and get you some good rest, because I want you to come back tonight and see the program, amen. See the kids perform and all that goes on. It's quite a thing to done, putting this all together, and so you'll want to see it. And what I didn't tell you, I really don't have a copy of that check back and in, but I do have access to it. And I would charge you for it, because I think it's Gail that has a complete copy of that. Don't you, Gail, that check back and in? Well, I'm trying to make a little money to help pay for the piano. So Ray wants to see it, so maybe we should show it to him anyway. Okay? Let's take the Lord and be with me before we go. Roger, would you have our closing prayer, please?